The reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Good morning and happy Christmas to you all. I thought, what with it being Christmas Day and everything, I'll take the opportunity while I'm here to hand out my Christmas presents that I've got for you all. Yeah, I've spent the last few weeks scouring the shops of Bristol to get for each one of you just the right gift. And so I thought I'd hand them out to you now. So I'm just going to get my bag, which is over here. There's quite a few of them. And I'm just going to need a hand to dish them out, actually, and get them to the right people. So I wonder, Mike, if you could maybe give me a hand, some of these. There you go, Mike. So if you grab one out of there and see, they've all got name labels on, and tell us who that one's for and find the...
Actually, I've got one. This one's for me.
Oh, that's yours, is it? All right, that's Mike. Okay, grab another one.
This one's for me as well.
Oh, right. Oh, so that's slightly awkward. There's one more.
To Mike Kane.
Mike Kane. Oh, right. I haven't actually got any more in my bag. Sorry about that, everyone. So it's slightly embarrassing, actually. I'm not quite sure what happened there. Some sort of mix-up. It looks like, actually, you won't be getting a Christmas presents from me, so I'm sorry about that. But on the upside, Mike's got loads. So I thought it'd be almost as exciting. We could watch Mike unwrap one of his. Maybe just one. Mike, why don't you unwrap this one here? You can just take the others home and... You can do those later, and we can all watch Mike unwrap one of his presents, which would be great, wouldn't it? So off you go, Mike. Any ideas what it might be?
Chat amongst yourselves. It feels like a book.
Oh, okay.
Definitely feels like a book. You're a genius. Look at this.
What is it? What have you got there?
That is Bob Church's Guide to New Fly Patterns.
Bob Church's Guide to New Fly Patterns, which is
everyone's cup of tea, but it is mine, so thank you very much.
That's a good present, is it? That's
a fantastic present.
Great. And fly patterns are what?
little feathery things you put on hooks with which to catch trout and sea trout and salmon and things like that.
Wow, and that's a whole book of patterns of how to make them.
Bob Church is actually a world famous fly tyer.
Wow.
He is a fly tyer.
That's brilliant. Well, that was exciting, wasn't it? Well, actually, it wasn't that exciting, was it, actually? It was kind of disappointing, actually. I mean, it was great for Mike. Mike was excited, but I guess for the rest of us, we were left a little bit disappointed, a little bit flat, actually. And you know, I think that we sometimes think a little bit about the Christmas message. We think it's sometimes a bit like watching someone else unwrap their Christmas presents. Great for them, doesn't really do anything for me. I think it's sometimes we think that, you know, this story of Jesus being born in a stable, it's a nice story and everything, and it seems so lovely and perfect, that the stable and the family and the new baby, but it's hard to see how it really connects with my life. Hard to see what it's really got to do with me. It doesn't really speak into any of kind of my questions or problems. It's not really connected with my everyday, normal, day-to-day life. And I think that's why so many of us, don't we feel, after all the kind of build-up and hype of Christmas, after it's over, it leaves us feeling a bit flat sometimes. A bit like watching Mike unwrap Bob Church's Guide to New Fly Patterns. But I think that passage that we read together just now from Luke chapter 2 is there to show us that the things that we remember at Christmas, they're not supposed to leave us feeling like we're watching someone else unwrap their Christmas presents at all. In fact, I think this passage that we just read together, I think it's supposed to leave us feeling much more like this. Now, let's have another go, Mike. I wonder if you could give me a hand again with this. I've got another bag in here somewhere. Yeah, here we go. Well, Mike, I wonder if you could give me a hand. Why don't you take a couple of those? Why don't you take one of those? Take another one of those. And why don't you head up to the back with those and find some people to give those to? And I'll dish out a couple of these here. Maybe Tim, you could take one of those and get unwrapping that maybe. And you guys down here could unwrap one of these. And could someone read out to us, Tim? What does it say on the label of your?
To everyone, please share with those around you.
To everyone, please share with those around you. And inside, has anyone got this open yet? Can you tell me what's inside it? What's inside there? Do you want to hold that up, Tim, for everyone to see? So, bag of chocolate to everyone. Please share with those around you. That's a bit more like it, isn't it? That's good news that we can all get involved in, all of us here in this room. And that's a bit more like the news that the angel in that passage we read came to share with the shepherds. Please do open those up and circulate them around. Did you hear what the angel said to the shepherds? He said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I want us to see this morning how these verses, Luke chapter 2, show us that the Christmas story is not disconnected from our day-to-day lives. In fact, it's got everything to do with all of us here in this room. And it's got everything to do with our ordinary day-to-day lives. It involves you and me right now in the biggest, most exciting thing that has ever and will ever happen. So let's dig into those verses and see what is this news that the angel came to tell and why is it so good. Have a look back at the verses they're printed out on your service sheet. And I think it's got two parts to it, this good news. And the first is this: God's rescuer has come. God's rescuer has come. Have a look back at verse 11 that we read together. The angel said, today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born. And a Savior is someone who comes to save or rescue people in trouble. When I was about 10 years old, we went out for a day to the beach, my family, and one point in the afternoon, I decided to go for a walk off down the beach on my own, and it was one of these big beaches where the tide goes way, way out, like Western Supermare or something like that, and as I walked off down the beach, I didn't notice that there were signs all over the beach like this. Danger, sinking mud. And you can probably see where this story's going. You can guess what happened. I wandered into some sinking mud and got stuck. And I tried climbing out. I really did. I was trying to clamber out as I realized. But the more I moved my legs and tried to climb out, the deeper I sunk into the sinking mud. And I tried reaching out and to grab at the ground and pull myself up. But the more I reached and moved, the deeper down I sunk into the sinking mud. And I quickly realized that if I was going to avoid going completely under the mud, the only thing for it was to be rescued. I needed to be rescued. So I began to shout, help, help, help. And my mum, who was way up on the top end of the beach, she heard me and she came running down the beach and she leaned over into the mud and she grabbed a hold of me and she pulled me out. She rescued me. And this angel in Luke chapter 2, he comes to tell these shepherds that God has sent someone to do that for them. But these shepherds, they weren't stuck in sinking mud, as far as we know. So what did they need rescuing from? Well, the Bible says that these shepherds and all of us are stuck in something much worse than sinking mud. And it's called sin. Sin is what the Bible calls it when we turn our backs on God and we decide to stop listening to him and choose not to live his ways, but to live our lives our way. And sin is really serious because God hates it, and like sinking mud, once you're in it, it is impossible to get yourself out. And the Bible tells the story of God's people stuck in sin. And how, and they know they're stuck in sin, and so they try really, really hard to get out. They really do try. They try really hard to change and to do better and to be kinder to each other and to tell fewer lies and to love God more and to not go off chasing after and living for other things. They tried so hard, but like people stuck in sinking mud, the more they tried to get out of the sin they were stuck in, the deeper and deeper they sank into it. But the Bible tells another story as well. The Bible tells the story of God's promise not to leave his people stuck in sin. God promises to send a rescuer. He'll be a great king or Christ. That's what that word means. It means great king. And he'll be a descendant of David, Israel's greatest king. And he will come and rescue not just Israel, but people everywhere stuck in sin. And so the angel's good news to the shepherds back in Luke chapter 2 is basically God has kept that promise. He's finally sent his rescuer, King Jesus. And you know, that means part of the good news of Christmas is that you and I, we can stop exhausting ourselves trying to do the impossible, trying to free ourselves from the trap of sin with New Year's resolutions and just trying harder and cleaning up our act, because Jesus has come to do that for us. He's come to rescue us. He's our rescuing King. And the good news we remember at Christmas is that he's come. But it gets even better than that, because not only has God's rescuer come, the really, really great news of Christmas is this, is that he's come for you. He's come for you. I wonder if you heard on the news tomorrow that a great and important king or a royal was coming to visit Bristol, how would you expect them to come? What kind of people would you expect them to come to? And who would you expect their coming to be first announced to and invited to come and meet them, maybe at the airport? Would you expect it to be people who dressed like this, who wore clothes like this, shiny buttons, smart clothes, and kind of shiny hats and kind of shiny shoes like these? Would you expect a king to come and see people like that? Or would you expect a great king to come and see people wearing just kind of ordinary clothes, you know, kind of muddy trainers and a kind of scruffy hat and tracksuit bottoms? Who would you expect a great king, someone really important to come to and to invite to come and meet them at the airport? The shiny shoes, shiny button people, or the tracksuit bottoms, muddy trousers people? Where do you think our royal should go? Which way? This way? This way. Probably this way. I think probably this way is probably a good bet. And if this great king or important person was coming to stay in Bristol, what kind of a place would you expect them to stay in while they were here in Bristol? Do you think somewhere, here we go, let's see if I can do this. Somewhere with kind of grand paintings and silverware around the place, or would you expect them to stay somewhere where they'd kind of be maybe in leftovers out of a Tupperware with a spoon and drinking their tea out of a Wallace and Gromit mug? Where do you think our king would go? Leftovers out of a Tupperware, or paintings and silverware? I think probably paintings and silverware, don't you? Of course, because royals and great important kings, they don't hang around with people wearing scruffy tracksuit bottoms and kind of living ordinary lives like ours, do they? They hang around with these kind of people and in these kind of places, don't they? But did you notice in that passage that we read, Luke 2, that's not how this king, King Jesus, came at all, is it? Who did the angel go and tell about Jesus' arrival? And who was the first to be invited to go and see him? Not princes or rich, important people, but shepherds. Ordinary working guys. We don't know any of their names. What's important about them is that they're just not really important. They're everyday people like us. And did you spot what the angel said would be the sign that they'd found the right baby? That he'd be in a palace, surrounded by kind of fine things. No, that he'd be wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And a manger, by the way, isn't anything special. Christmas cards have done a great job of making us think the stable and the manger were kind of especially cozy. A manger is basically a big bucket that you put animal food in. And think about it, the stable for these shepherds, it was nothing special. It was just an ordinary part of their day-to-day lives, the kind of place they would have spent a lot of time hanging around. You see, Luke wants us to see that God's rescuing king, when he came not to the important people and not in a glitzy and a kind of glamorous place, but to the ordinary people and to a really ordinary place, an everyday kind of a place. And you see why, if you look back at verse 11, it's that line that we sung just now in that song together. Today, in the town of David, the angel said, a Saviour has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. Not just a Saviour's been born, but a Saviour's been born to you. Born for ordinary, nameless shepherds. Born for ordinary people like you and me. I think one of the main reasons we think that the Christmas story hasn't really got very much to do with us or to say to our everyday lives is because we've got this image of Jesus, probably mostly taken from old paintings and things, that he kind of floated through life, a few inches off the ground and kind of disconnected from life as we experience it. By a kind of super spiritual force field. But you see how Luke, in this little snapshot that we get of the events surrounding Jesus' birth, he wants us to show us the exact opposite is true of Jesus. Luke shows us a Jesus who lived our kind of life. He's a Jesus who knows what it's like to go to school when you don't want to. A Jesus who knows what it's like to have brothers and sisters who drive you mental. A Jesus who knows what it's like to have to work hard. A Jesus who knows what it's like to wonder if he's going to have enough to pay the bills at the end of the month. A Jesus who knows what it's like to be lonely and to catch colds and to lose loved ones to cruel illnesses. God's rescuer, King Jesus, he's not disconnected and disinterested in our lives. He's one of us, and he's come for us. And that is great, great news. Because if you've ever wondered if God knows how hard life is for you sometimes, and if you've ever wondered if God cares about what a struggle just day-to-day life is for you sometimes, well, the message of Christmas is yes, he does. He knows, and he cares. Because Jesus, in Jesus, he came to get involved in the details of our lives, in all the earthy, practical, ordinary details of our lives. And Jesus came because he wants to walk with you and you to walk with him. Not in exceptional, kind of special moments when you feel yourself lifted out of the humdrum of life, but in the day-to-day ordinariness of everyday life. And that is great news for all of us in this room, isn't it? Because none of us know what 2014 will hold for us. But we can know that whatever it brings, if we know Jesus, we need not face it alone. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that you came as one of us, and you are one of us. You know what it's like to live our lives. And Lord Jesus, we pray that today you would help us to take in the wonder of what you did in becoming one of us. Help us to take in today your extraordinary love for us. And we pray that we would know what it is to walk with you, not only today, but every day. Amen.